If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Go to Dutch.com to get vet care that is always there for just $92 a year.
Picture this. You're standing before ancient ruins as the sun bleeds over Rajasthan, India. A government guard approaches with an official sign that reads, "Entry prohibited after sunset." But this isn't about safety. This is Bangar Fort, the only place in India that locals call legally haunted, where 11 million people died in a catastrophic famine, where two competing curses claim to have destroyed an entire city overnight, and where 266,000 visitors come every year hoping to encounter something supernatural. Tonight, we're unlocking the doors to India's most notorious paranormal destination. Hello, friend. Welcome to the Haunted Bunker, where mysteries hide. I'm Shane Waters, and tonight my brother Josh and I are cracking open one of Asia's most infamous haunted locations. But first, if you are a longtime listener, you've probably noticed a few changes around here. Stick with us. We'll explain everything. Well, if you're a longtime listener, you've probably realized when you looked at our artwork today that it has changed a little. Josh, you looked around.
I was like, after, did he change the...
You looked around.
I'm like, where?
Oh, really? Josh's like, oh, where? Oh, really?
Well, you know, you do stuff randomly without telling us.
Yeah, the true challenge, Josh, do you remember what we changed our podcast name to?
I was looking through our text this morning to try to like, what? Now, what did we decide on? Was it the Haunted Bunker?
Yep.
He got to look too. He got to look too.
Yeah, I did. Well, I wanted to make sure I said it right. It was so nice because we have such a devoted group of people on Patreon who are just so sweet and nice. And
love you.
Yes. And so like we had their help. I think that what's unique about our show is that we have the small group of people there who are just so devoted no matter what we're doing. Like they're always there and always communicating. And so like when we were thinking about like, hey guys, we should change our name because everyone is getting us confused.
They think we're a Scooby-Doo podcast.
Yeah, everyone's thinking that we're going to be talking about old Scooby-Doo episodes. And then you listen and then like there's a gay guy talking about his charades and then there's mysteries. And so it's just
and
not what people
two.
Think. Shane and Josh. And so we were really excited about getting our patrons involved in this new change and helped us go through some names of what they would want, because what was really important when we were all talking about it is like when we think about the podcast, like it's our community really that makes it special to us, because we're not doing this podcast for money. Like we're not here because we're making money from it. We're here because it's filling our cup.
Yes.
And a part of filling that cup is the community behind it. Mm-hmm. And that's you listening.
That helps me when we record too, especially now that we've just spoken to them on Patreon, various apps for over, how long has it been? Is this our third year?
Oh, man.
I think it's our third year.
Maybe it's third. I can't remember.
Time has no meaning and isn't real.
I know.
No, I love going on Patreon to ask them questions. But you guys know us. We are ADHD, DDD.
We are all the Ds.
We had it down to like four names. Yeah. and we asked them on Patreon, and then we got a whole bunch of like new names. Like, we're never going to pick one because I like these now too.
Yes, yes, yes. We did finally settle on the haunted bunker, which is great because we do, of course, record in the bunker.
And it's haunted.
Yes, which is true. And it's so fun.
Poltergeist.
Yes, so I love it. I love the fact that the haunted bunker is a name that is accurate because we do record in a haunted bunker. And I love the fact that when you start listening, you're in the know when you know what the name means. It's like BVDs.
Yes.
Like you have to be a longtime listener to the
and
names.
And what good cult doesn't have a bunker? Oh. It was eventual.
It is. That is so true. And we are really a cult.
We got a bunker, but no Kool-Aid.
Yes. We like to have a subtitle too.
Hear ye, hear ye.
The Haunted Bunker, Where Mysteries Hide.
Dun, dun,
I just
dun.
Love that so much. I mean, it just, I feel like if someone's like, hey, Shane, would you like to visit a haunted bunker? We have pizza. I'd be like, yeah.
Sure do.
I sure do. I would love to.
That's how you get me in the white van.
Right. Exactly. That's where Shane goes, and that's where he disappears.
He just goes down to that bunker, and we don't see tied or hair of him.
Right. But yeah, no, so we're pretty excited and we're excited to bring you guys along for this next journey of this show. And this whole time that we've been talking about changing the name of it, it's you listening that makes what Josh and I have been doing this entire time worthwhile.
We appreciate it, girls.
Yeah.
And guys.
Yes,
gays
yes.
and bays.
But you'll probably notice that you're not hearing an annoying voice today.
Who?
Who is that?
Who's Kim has transitioned there? To spirit. She is now the ghost in the bunker.
We couldn't get so lucky. Oh my gosh, can you imagine there'd always be this weird smell around here?
Oh.
No, Kim isn't going to be joining us for a while because she's going to be having a grandbaby soon. So she's going to be focusing on that.
Just a little over a month away.
Yeah, her only grandbaby.
Well, that we're getting right into winter time.
Yeah, she lives a long way away. There will be some new changes with the new branding. And so we'll roll those out a little bit slowly as we go along. One of the things that will be new, which is some feedback that we always receive, that we are going to start doing our mystery at the head of the show.
Well, I am a head expert, so I think so.
Okay. We will be doing the mystery at the head of the show, and then we'll talk a little bit at the end, but then we'll save most of the conversation for Unmasked.
Yes.
That's where we'll get into the nitty-gritty.
People just don't like our banter much.
No, they just get so raunchy about
it. You go past 5, 10, 45 minutes and they just complain.
And look, like here we go after our 12-minute rant.
I was going to say, has it been half an hour already? Right.
All right, friend. It's time to descend into mystery. Let's travel to India. All right, I'll go ahead and get into my mystery. Is that okay with you if I go first? Okay. All right. Now, when I picked this mystery, I really wanted to do it, but I also knew that I was going to butcher the name of this place, but I was so excited to do it. I looked up pronunciations, and if you're a longtime listener, you know that's not going to help. But I'm going to do my best.
Hey, you looked up. That's effort.
It is. But when you are white trash from Northern Indiana, it still is not going to do you any well.
I don't know what you're talking about. I've never been trash in my life.
All right. Well, imagine you're standing in front of ancient ruins at sunset. A guard approaches with an official government sign that reads, "Entry prohibited after sunset." Nothing unusual about that, right? Except this isn't about safety. This is Bangar Fort in Rajasthan, India.
Rajasthan. Sure.
You know this place?
It sounds vaguely familiar.
Josh Saga just names this place off. And like anyone who's been there or knows India, or if you're from India, then you're like yelling at me in this podcast.
But idiota!
Look, okay, I've never been there.
Teaching myself Spanish.
Well, locals call it legally haunted.
Ooh.
Now, the Archaeological Survey of India posts sunset warnings at thousands of historical sites, but only one has earned a reputation that brings 266,000 visitors every year, hoping to encounter something supernatural.
People love a good ghost.
They do. Well, here's the thing. Bangar Fort was abandoned in 1783 after a catastrophic famine killed 11 million people.
That'll do it. That's how you get ghosts.
No kidding. Well, historical records document exactly what happened. So how do two competing curse legends claim they destroyed this place? And why did people invent supernatural explanations for what history books tell us? That's what we're going to dive in today.
Dive on in.
I will. Well, let's start with what the history books tell us happened. Because even that story is pretty remarkable, even if you don't look at the ghost stories. Construction began in 1573 when Raja Bhagwat Das.
Bhagwat Das.
Yes. When that person built the fort for his younger son.
He must be a relation.
Bhado Singh. Right. Bhado Singh. Well, this wasn't some backwater outpost. This location was strategic. It was right on major trade routes connecting Delhi to the Aravalli region. And here's what makes this family interesting. Mado Singh's brother was... These names don't sound real, and I'm not laughing
because I'm trying to make fun of them. My mystery next week is from India as well.
But when you have people with the last name Singh, I don't know, I just feel like I've written their names down wrong, and I'm trying not to make fun. Like, I'm trying not to laugh at the name. It's just like, I'm trying to pronounce it, and I feel like I'm making fun of it. I'm not trying to, but then I start laughing. All right. But here's what makes the family interesting. Mado Singh's brother was Mano Singh, one of Emperor Akbar's famous nine jewels of the Mogo court. Now, this family was at the absolute center of power. Bangar flourished. The town grew to around 10,000 houses with bustling markets, trading spices, textiles, and grains. The architecture was impressive. There were three massive walls, five gates, temples with intricate yellow stone carvings, grand mansions, and a royal palace that rose seven stories high. Now, picture this place at its peak. Merchants would be shouting in the marketplace, priests would be conducting ceremonies in nine different temples. The royal palace was overlooking everything. This was a proper city. But then trouble hit. Around 1630, Charter Singh's son died violently, possibly in battle. His death marked the beginning of instability. His son inherited a weakened domain, a weakened kingdom. Then in 1720, the ruler of Jaipur forcibly took over this kingdom. The Mughal Empire was collapsing, and nobody had the power to stop it. This isn't all my script either, so don't freak out.
He got a book.
Well, the records say that the town, quote, gradually diminished in population as trade routes shifted elsewhere. The final blow came in 1783, the Chalisa famine. This wasn't just a bad harvest, it was catastrophic. A severe weather event caused monsoon failure across northern India. The numbers are staggering. An estimated 11 million people died across the region. Rainfall dropped by more than 50% in some areas. Around Delhi, 60% of villages were completely abandoned. People were starving to death by the hundreds of thousands. Bangar, already weakened by decades of decline, didn't stand a chance. Historical records are crystal clear. Since the famine of 1783, the town has remained uninhabited. That's a quote from the records. Now, according to the historical documents, those historical records weren't talking about the place being cursed. There wasn't people mysteriously vanishing. It was people were dying because they were starving to death, mass starvation. It was one of the deadliest famines. The historical record was pretty clear about it. But here's where it gets pretty interesting. There are two completely different curse legends that start coming up, and they both are coming up, both claiming that they both destroyed this region. Now, neither one of them appears in the historical records, but they're both folklore that's pretty important to understand, because although the historical record doesn't quite agree with it 100%, there still could be some truth within the folklore, of course. Some of them that I'll explain will talk about tales of powerful figures. Some of them will talk about some supernatural
revenge and some themes like that. The first one is referred to as the Holy Man's Shadow. Now, this first legend involves Baba Balu Nath. Now, this was a holy man who was meditating on the hills where Raja wanted to build his fort. When asked for permission, the holy man agreed under one strict condition. No structure's shadow could ever fall on his dwelling. If violated, he warned, the fort and the entire city would be destroyed. Now, according to the legend, construction went fine during Mado Singh's lifetime. Everyone respected the shadow boundary. But later, during Ajab Singh's rule, Mado Singh's grandson's ambition took over, and Ajab Singh's razed the palace. He raised the palace's walls higher, casting shadows across the holy man's retreat. Now, the moment darkness touched that sacred place, Baba Balu Nath pronounced his curse. The fort would be destroyed and no one could ever live there again, as the curse goes. The village was mysteriously abandoned overnight, and all inhabitants disappeared or died. Now, here's what makes this legend stick. Baba Balu Nath's tomb reportedly still exists within the fort today, and locals believe that houses in the fort remain roofless because any attempt to build a roof will cause an immediate collapse of the roof. And some sources even report deaths of people who have tried to rebuild roofs on those homes.
Ghost like open light.
Right. So that's pretty compelling imagery. You have a holy man who gives a pretty strict warning. You have an arrogant ruler. You have divine punishment. It all follows that classic curse structure perfectly. But there is more, because there's a completely different curse story that isn't related at all. Cool. This one is called The Princess and the Sorcerer.
Oh, I love it already.
All right. So this is the second legend, and it involves Princess Ratnaviti. She was allegedly the daughter of Chatur Singh, described as the jewel of Rajasthan when she turned 18. According to the story, her legendary beauty attracted marriage proposals from across the region, including obsessive attention from Singha, a local sorcerer who practiced dark magic. Knowing his low status made marriage impossible, Singha devised a magical scheme. When he saw the princess's servant buying perfumed oil in the marketplace, he enchanted it with a powerful spell. When applied, the magic would make princess fall in love with him. But the princess had some knowledge of magic herself and sensed the trick. Instead of using the oil, she threw the bottle onto a large boulder.
I would have put it on a pig or something.
Right. The moment that the enchanted oil touched stone, the boulder came alive, rolling with tremendous force toward the sorcerer. It crushed him, mortally wounding him. As he lay dying, consumed with rage, he pronounced his curse. Bangar would be destroyed. No one would ever live within its walls again. All who lived there would die. All their souls would never find peace.
What an asshole. First, right? He tries to roofie a princess with magic and then gets pissed that it backfires.
Right. Sounds like a man.
Mm-hmm.
According to the legend, the very next year, a fierce battle erupted. The princess was killed along with most inhabitants. Locals believe she's been reborn elsewhere and hope she'll return one day to lift the curse. A temple dedicated to her reportedly exists within the fort and is supposedly a paranormal hotspot after sunset. But the thing about this princess is there is no historical records that confirms that she exists. She doesn't appear in court records that we would still have today. And contemporary accounts don't mention her, at least by name. So it's possible that she is just made up as a part of the folklore. So I think it's interesting because you have two completely different folklores or two different completely legends about what happened to the place.
What we do know is the boulder is real.
Yeah, right. There was a boulder. Now, the Archaeological Survey of India, which is what they call the ASI, They manage 3,650 protected monuments across India. At many of the sites, they post rules that you can't go in there after sunset because of safety concerns. And that's like here too. Like you can't go into parks after dark and stuff.
They don't want people dogging.
Right. That's from Harry Potter, isn't it? Dogging, kissing, and making out.
No, I learned it from Wendy.
Oh,
well, I don't British. I don't think Harry Potter would mention dogging.
Well, I
snogging,
thought
I think is snogging. What they call it.
Oh, okay.
Maybe.
Kissing, maybe.
I called a snogging in the owl thingy.
At this place, there's a sign in Hindi, and it reads, entering the borders of Bangar before sunrise and after sunset is strictly prohibited. Legal action will be taken against anybody who does not follow these instructions.
If I had a dollar every time I've been into a park after sunset, honey, that's how we had to do it back in the day.
Right.
It's also why I have a good tolerance for poison ivy to this day.
Now, somewhere along the way, the sign that I just read to you evolved. And so it got changed. The phrase legally prohibited got changed into legally haunted.
Ooh. That's nice that they even put legally prohibited. Here in America, you will be shot.
Right.
Cops will not be called.
Once they put legally haunted, that's when this area became viral. That's when everyone was like, oh, what's going on? Yeah. So the idea that India's government had officially declared the site as haunted, like really got the public's attention and got everyone else like, what's going on over here? Because the government's, oh yeah, yeah. That place is probably haunted.
And don't mess around there.
Yeah, and so the place does use it as like their marketing angle. Now, the ASI says for their actual reason for putting it on the sign, they did it for safety, wildlife protection, and preservation. The fort sits near a tiger reserve, and at night you've got Bengal tigers, Indian leopards, sloth bears, and hyenas in the areas, which are real dangers, and they don't want...
Man-eaters.
Yeah, they don't want people to be hanging out in the dark.
And cobras in general right. are enough.
But the fact that you have legally haunted, people are... They don't care about all the dangers. They're like, oh, I don't care.
They're not worried about a tiger. They want to see a spirit.
Yeah. So because of the legally haunted stuff, it became a tourism gold rush. So between 2022 and 2023, visitors numbers jumped from 184,000 to 266,000 people.
Jesus Christ.
Over a year. That's 44.5% growth in 1 year.
My bedroom's haunted. It's really active when a big bearded daddy is in the room. So any big bearded daddies, come check it out.
Right.
Not 200 and something thousand, though.
No, right. Well, this place is now considered one of the most, if not the most, haunted place in India and one of the most haunted places in Asia when it comes to a notorious paranormal destination.
Hmm. Yeah. I wonder if it... really is, or if it, you know, the power of suggestion.
Oh, yeah.
People go there with the intent to see it.
Well, you know, what's weird about those places, like when you got millions of people who just died, like in a real quick.
There's bound to be some that stick around.
Yeah. Now, with all of those people flocking there, there are a lot of ghost tours and history tours and all the things. So the economic impact of all those visitors is pretty significant for the area. You can buy souvenirs that are all ghost-themed merchandise. There are tours selling curse stories. There's hotels that advertise their proximity to India's most haunted place. But here's what makes this fascinating. The haunted reputation has actually helped preserve the site. Locals generally avoid the ruins after dark, not just because of the ASI rule, but because they genuinely believe in the curse, that fear has stopped vandalism, theft, and unauthorized construction. So the supernatural reputation has become an accidental preservation method.
Oh, good.
Yeah, people are like, yeah, I don't want to die.
I'm doing that.
Yeah.
Ghosts are better than any security system.
Yeah. So what do people actually report experiencing at this place?
Gas.
The stories are pretty consistent. People are reporting the same type of stuff. They're hearing a lot of strange sounds. They're hearing whispers, footsteps, bells jingling, shadows moving between ruined structures, feelings of being watched, cold spots, equipment problems, cameras and phones dying despite having full batteries, strange lights, and photographs. Some of the more dramatic claims include a group of boys who had allegedly entered the fort at night and never returned, workers who died falling into wells during restoration work, deaths attributed to the curse rather than safety violations, tourists reporting panic attacks or overwhelming fear when approaching certain areas of the fort.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Go to Dutch.com to get vet care that is always there for just $92 a year.
I always feel the pressure to find the perfect gift for my relatives. In this case, whether you're sending an unforgettable gift or treating yourself to everyday perfection, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. For me, I'm not just into steaks. I like all types of meat. That's why I'll usually get the Winter's Bestseller Pack. It comes with juicy fillets, chicken breasts, pork chops, and even burgers. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. A family-owned company with over 100 years of experience in the meat industry. Save big on unforgettable gifts with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide and earn an extra 20% off select favorites during their cyber sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code YUM at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. Go to omahasteaks.com to get 50% off site-wide plus an extra 20% off select favorites and more limited-time deals during their cyber sale. And use promo code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
Particularly where they say the princess's temple or the Baba Balunath's tomb, where they report those places to be, is where people are talking about how they're feeling all those feelings. Now, if we look at it from a skeptic's point of view, the experiences could be explained pretty straightforward. If you look up pictures of the fort, the shape, it's possible that the wind going through it could create like sound that may sound like whispers. Like, I've been in old like churches and stuff where there's wind coming through windows and
It sounds like a fear howling.
And when you go to places where you know something really bad has happened, like, you become hyper aware, especially if you believe that it is cursed.
Right. Or, you're noticing more and you're all your senses are on high alert.
Yes. And because there are ruins, it naturally will create unusual shadow patterns as the light shifts. And there are monkeys and other wildlife that move throughout the entire structure during the day and at night. And that can cause the impression of hearing footsteps.
Seeing a shadow past you real quick.
Yeah. And they live all around it. So you don't always hear them or see them, but you can hear them. And there's also psychology. If you visit a place believing it's haunted, your brain very well may interpret unclear things as paranormal. A shadow may become a ghost. A breeze may become a supernatural presence. You remember the weird moments, you may forget the normal ones. But maybe it is haunted. I think maybe just because you can explain, okay, yeah, the wind is coming through here, but that doesn't necessarily always mean that, like, for me, I don't think that fully explains everyone's feelings and all of the experiences. I think I would have to, as an outsider, I'm not here to disprove everyone's experiences. That's not my job.
We're just given both sides.
Yeah, for sure. So I think like I would have to go there and I would have to like, oh, that does sound like a whisper. That could be the wind. Or that can't be the wind because it's not windy right now and I'm hearing whispering.
Even now we'd be a little biased just because we know that it's advertised as haunted. Whereas I would prefer to go it without any knowledge of history it being haunted and make up my mind after that visit. Yeah.
Yes, I agree fully. But I thought the place was really interesting, especially because millions of people died there really quickly.
And that's bound to leave some residual energy in itself.
Oh, yeah.
Especially something as brutal as famine. You starve to death and slowly die and all your family. That'd make me a little eager to stay. I'm not ready yet. Not like this. Hope I don't die anything. My biggest fear is dying embarrassingly. As a gay man, I hope it's not like, oh, something flew up his ass and a car crash and a metal rod goes up my ass and kills me. Like, I'd have some words with the creator.
Right.
A little bitch slap or two if I die anally.
I like that.
That good coffee.
That's funny.
Yeah, there's not many ways I think about dying, but that's one of them. Just please, universe, not
the bed. I just don't want to drown.
Even that I could get by. I feel like I'd find peace in it. Oh, it's so quiet down here. Glub, glub.
Oh my gosh.
Like Blanche on the Golden Girls. Oh. Thank you, baby. Glub.
You're awful. That was the rest of my mystery.
Fascinating.
Had you heard it before?
I had not, to my knowledge.
You've heard
I'll
the
have
name,
to hear right? how the name's pronounced recall.
You should have to do that sometime.
I used to watch a lot of Ancient Aliens. Some of them don't stick. When they start getting too deep into the bullshit of it I start tuning out.
Oh, yeah, I know.
I'm like, you're just pulling hairs now. Come on.
Yeah.
Not everything's a ghost or an alien.
I agree. There's a couple shows that they have going on that are like, oh, caught on tape. And I'm like, nope. They're just showing all fake stuff.
Oh, like yeah. Even TikToks and whatnot. Yeah. They'll be like, there's this weird creature in the woods. And it'll be some guy in an Amazon costume. And they all use the same sound. It sounds like a gorilla howling in the woods. But it's literally the same audio clip on all these people's videos.
Right.
Like, how many people are falling for this shit? A lot of them, apparently, by the comments. Bless their hearts. That and AI videos.
Oh, I know.
I'm like, how can you not tell it's AI?
I know.
The one that gets people the most, because a lot of people send them to me, are the Ring Cam AI videos.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which is a way AI uses that format because porch cams aren't the clearest.
Yeah.
And they're more glitchy, so it's easier for it to make it look real. And these people really out here thinking these old ladies are feeding bears and tigers and shit from their front porch like it's their house pet. I'm like, come on, quit sending me this bullshit.
No kidding. That is good. I like that.
All right, friend. Before we close up the bunker tonight, I've got a story that'll make you say, well, you'll see.
Well, Josh, before we end this episode, I have a shit fire story to tell you.
Well, shit fire.
And if you're new to the show, shit fire was a saying our grandma used to say. And if you don't know what it means, you'll learn when I tell you this story. All right, gang. For this shit fire story, we're traveling to March 2019 in Texas, just outside of Houston. Now, we've all seen those signs at Petco, right? The all leashed pets are welcome.
Oh, yeah.
Dogs.
Thing but a wolf.
Hamsters. Bring them all in. But Vincent Browning and his partner, Shelley Lumpkin, looked at that sign and thought, you know what? Let's see if they really mean all.
Is this a buffalo?
So they loaded up Oliver. Oliver is not your average pet. Oliver is a 14-year-old African Wattasi steer who weighs over 1,600 pounds.
No, get a grip.
I know. His horns, they span 9.5 feet from tip to tip.
He ain't gonna fit down an aisle.
We're talking horns so massive that Oliver has to tilt his head sideways just to fit through a standard doorway. This animal is bigger than some cars. He has his own Facebook page, in fact, with 42,000 followers.
Jesus Christ.
Vincent, a former 1992 Bud Light World Champion bull rider, has raised Oliver since he was 6 months old and takes him to rodeo events across the southern states. And on Monday, March 18th, Vincent and Shelley pulled into the Petco parking lot with Oliver on a leash. They walked this massive beast right up to the automatic sliding doors, and here's where it gets beautiful. Oliver, like the gentleman he is, carefully tilts his giant horns to the side and walks through those doors like he's shopping for dog treats.
Why do you even get a bull at Petco? Apparently, they sell bully sticks, right. Little dried bull penises. I don't think he wants that.
I guess they probably would just eat dog food.
Bulls don't eat meat.
Blue buffalo. Do they not?
No, cows don't eat meat.
I don't know.
Grass, grain, so. And cud. Oh. They chew it and cud. Sounds so dirty.
It does.
But that's what I was thinking too.
Inside, Petco employees absolutely lost their minds. Instead of panic, though, they welcomed him with open arms. Customers started lining up to pet this big beast. Customers were pulling out their phones, they were taking selfies with Oliver in the aquarium section, and one employee walked right up and started petting him like he was just a golden retriever. But the moral of the story, when a business says, all leashed pets are welcome, apparently Petco means it. But shit, fire, and save the matches. I just can't imagine walking in and there's a big ass bull.
I'd walk out. I'd be like, this place too, has lost their damn minds.
But I went into the PetSmart in Muncie before, and I was in line, and the person in front of me, I thought that they had a big scarf, and it was a large snake.
No.
And I didn't realize it until it moved.
Ooh.
And that's where they almost found my body. A massive snake. And another time I was in there, the person behind me in line, or a person in front of me in line, I don't know why there's people in line, had a big bucket, and I assumed that they had bought stuff and they had it in a bucket. I don't know. And so they get up and they were asking the cashier a question. They're like, so I was out fishing and I found these snakes. Do you guys know what kind they are? And the lady's like looking in the bucket and she's like, no, and I need you to get those out of here.
They're not on a leash, sir.
Yeah. I was like, what the crap are you bringing in like wild snakes in?
Just leave them there.
She's like,
for Christ's
sake. No, and you need to get those
I
out.
I took these snakes out of their home in the wild and brought them to a pet store.
Yeah, that's what he was like.
Get out of here.
I was fishing. I found them in the White River or something.
I don't acknowledge when people bring their different pets into public spaces that, because I'm like, I'm not giving you the attention you so desperately seek.
The only thing I like about the big bull is just that it was a massive bull and it was just so friendly.
Right.
The fact that it just let people come up and pet it, it's just something about that just made my heart smile.
Cute.
That was cute.
But I'm also thinking about the employees as a former pet store employee myself.
Sure.
I'm like, that thing's going to make a mess. If it craps on the floor, knock its horns, knock stuff off the shelves.
And what if it wasn't nice?
Yeah.
What if it, like, all it took is one moment for it to be like, oh, you know what? I'm over this. I want to go lay down.
Or one person that agitates it and he takes off running.
Is it one little child that runs up to it and pushes it?
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
People used to bring in wolf dogs at the pet shop that I worked at. And they're huge. And to me, I'm like, I don't believe that the animal is going to bite anybody. That's not my fear, but as a pet owner, I would be too afraid to bring, if I had an animal that could be dangerous, into public. Like a kid goes up to it, and kids don't know to be easy sometimes, and pulls its hair and it gets a little nip from the dog or whatnot. Then now you got to put your dog down.
Right.
I'm not risking that just so I can bring my dog into the pet store.
No, I'd rather put the person down.
Yeah.
I'm going to put my dog down.
Your kid pulled my dog's hair.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for joining us today.
Yes.
And don't forget that we have a post office box and we want your postcards. We have a wall of postcards.
We got some today and some goodies to try.
So you guys need to come join us over on our bonus episode so that we can try those with you.
I've been eyeballing this marshmallow butterfinger from Mary for weeks now. Thank God I didn't. It's been on my dresser in the package it came in and out of sight, out of mind.
Oh, yeah.
Or I would have eaten it because I did not remember it until last night and I put it in my bag and I was like, oh, thank God I forgot about that because I've had it for 2 weeks or more and I had to stop myself as soon as I opened it.
All right, we're going to go ahead and end this. Our P.O. box will be in the show notes, but it is P.O. box 690, Wabash, Indiana 46. 972. You can also find us on Facebook at Shane and Josh's Rabbit Hole. So just come on over, hang out with us. We're going to have a jolly old time, but we're going to see you on our bonus episode right after this. So you can listen to us have some delicious snacks, because I know that's exactly what you want us to do.
So
we're doing it for you.
Listen to us chew it.
Yep, we're doing it for you.
ASMR.
Yes. All right. We'll see you there.
Bye.
And that's going to do it for this trip into the bunker. Tonight we travel to Bangar Fort in Rajasthan, India, a place where 11 million souls perished in a famine, where two ancient curses battle for credit, and where the government itself warns you, don't stay after dark. Is it truly haunted, or is it the weight of history pressing down on anyone brave enough to walk those crumbling halls? Some mysteries aren't meant to be solved. They're meant to be felt. If you enjoyed tonight's mystery, do me a favor. Tell a friend about the haunted bunker. Word of mouth is how we grow, and every share means the world to Josh and me. And don't forget, our P.O. box is in the show notes. We love your postcards, your snacks, and your stories. Send them our way. The lights are dimming, the bunker door is closing, but the mysteries, they're just getting started. I'm Shane Waters. Stay curious, stay skeptical, and stay a little bit scared. Good night, friend.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Go to Dutch.com to get vet care that is always there for just $92 a year.